Hey, good morning, River Church. Glad that you're with us. Welcome to another online service. So glad that you could be with us today. There's a few things before we get started with the message today that I just want to share with you guys. First off is that if you are on YouTube or on Facebook, we would love for you to either like Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel. In these ways, you can be notified when we're doing our live stream or when we post anything new. It just gives you an update as to what's going on at the River Church. So if you do that, that would be fantastic. Also, we know that right now in this season, we want to worship with our people. And I honestly miss our time when we are on Sunday morning getting after it in church, worshiping with our worship band. And I miss it. I miss it a lot. And I know that you do too. And sadly, we are struggling to get our worship online. But in the meantime, as we continue to work on that, in the meantime, what we're inviting you to do is that we've created a worship playlist on YouTube. How do you get there? Well, you go to youtube.com, and once you're there, you can click in the search box, TRC Durango, all one word, and it'll come up with our YouTube channel. You'll see the icon, the circle with the swoosh in it, and click on that. And once you get in there, you find playlists. Click playlists, and there's two playlists. One is sermons, one is TRC worship. Go to the TRC worship, click on that, and there's a bunch of songs in there with the lyrics and the music that you can engage in a time of worship and just giving God glory as we all should be together. And so I want to invite you to do that. We'll still work on trying to get our worship online, but in the meantime, here's a way for you to be able to worship and engage in some music and just sing and declare how amazing God is in your homes, in your cars, on your devices. Also, in this time, we understand that still this is a difficult season, and I know that you may still want to give to TRC, and you're going, how do I do that? Well, let me just invite you to either one on our website. You can go, and on the upper right-hand corner of the screen, there's a blue box that says give. You click that, and that'll walk you through the process of giving. On our app, there's a section that says give as well, and you can give there. So there's our two places online to give. If that's not up your alley, you can always drive by the church and drop off your giving in the mailbox, or just send it to 860 Plymouth Drive, and that'll also get to us as well. So there's ways that you can continue to give here at the River Church. So as this is a unique time, and we are all separated and isolated, it's difficult to be able to give each other those hugs, those high fives, see how we're doing and connect. Well, we want to encourage you. There is a way that you can connect. There's actually multiple ways that you can connect. One, you can call us. Leave a message on our phone, 970-247-7777. We want to hear from you, so please call us. Another way that you can connect is on our website. There's a blue box that says contact us. You can email us there. On our app, you can go into the upper left-hand corner of the app, and there's three lines. You click on those three lines, and you look for the phone icon. Once you click on that phone icon, it will take you to an email, or you can call us. So there's some ways to connect there. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, simply just put the comments below, and we want to respond and hear those things. We want to have your prayer requests. If you've got needs, physical needs, financial needs, whatever those needs are, we want to hear, and the best that we can do, we will try to reach out and help you. We've got people that are willing and ready to bring groceries home or to do stuff that way. And there's two things in our mission that we want to make sure that are happening right now in this season with the coronavirus and the social isolation. One is we want to bring hope. In everything that we do, we want to make sure that we are showing you and telling you about the love of Jesus and how in this season where there's so much fear and so much confusion, God and His love can bring peace. And Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is so important for us to know that this life, this place is not our eternal home, but our home rests with God forever because of what Jesus Christ did for us. So we want to bring that hope to you. The second thing is we want to extend love. If there's ways that we can bring a box of groceries home for you, or help out in any way possible. We want to hear from you. We want to pray with you, and just give you a call, pray with you personally, and just let you know that we are still here, we're around, and we're wanting to connect with you the best way that we can. So with those things, bringing hope and extending love, we want to now bring you to our message. Jill has a great message prepared for us on this Palm Sunday. Yeah, it's the Sunday before Easter. It's crazy that it's already here, and we're excited to bring that to you. So sit back or tune in on your phone, on your computer, on your TV, and enjoy what Jill has to share with you this morning. God bless.
Good morning. I am really glad that you're here. I know that this is so weird. I can't even begin to tell you how weird this is for me to be standing on an empty stage, talking to an empty room in a camera. It really makes me miss seeing your faces. I want to start us off this morning and with a prayer. And I just want to ask God to help us with this new normal. So Lord, I pray that you would come into this place, that you would fill each home, each person that is watching right now. I ask for your spirit, your presence, your peace. And I pray, Lord, that you would supernaturally help us to feel the community that we are missing today. May there be something so different about sitting and watching this today that that will move us, God, to remind us of the church family that we have, to remind us of what you've purposed for us. And may you speak to us today as we get together and gather around our TVs and our phones and all of the things that you've provided for us, Lord. I pray that we would, as we gather around, that you would speak to our hearts, speak your truth, and speak your word. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good Sunday morning. I'll get better, I swear, as we keep going. But I want to start off by just saying that I know that this is really hard. Last Sunday was actually really hard for me. I sat on my couch at home with my family and I cried. I cried because this is not what I want. This is not what I like. This is not what I remember about church, and this everything just felt different. I was sad for my friends and my family who I know are already battling this. I'm sad for our community and our country and our world. There's not one person who isn't affected by what is happening right now. And that made me sad. It overwhelmed me with this. I'm sad for our businesses and how it's taking a toll on our little community. And I'm sad that my life looks so different. I miss my friends. I miss normal. I miss the normal that I had. As frustrated as I would be at times with my old normal, I miss it. And I miss coming into church and seeing smiling faces, and I miss getting hugs, and I miss the amens during the sermon. I wish that I could hear from you right now, that when I say, "How are you?" I would get a response. I miss that. And I miss the atmosphere of worship. When we just get to sit and sing and lift up his name together. And honestly, you guys, it's okay that we miss all of these things, and it's okay that we're grieving it. It's not bad. And sometimes you have to sit and you cry and you have to sit with the Lord and let him bring the comfort. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of us need to be comforted right now. But something that does comfort me actually in this season is knowing that I'm not the only one that's going through this. Oftentimes when I'm in a really hard place, it feels very lonely and isolating because I think I'm the only one that's going through this. I'm the only one that knows what's happening in my life right now. And there's something weirdly comforting about knowing that everybody is going through this. Every one of us is dealing with something like this. Whether it's our jobs or our life changing, or whether even if you're sick or you know somebody who's sick, it's not very long away that we're all gonna probably know somebody who's sick. And we are all going to be on our knees, and we're all going to be having to deal with all of these emotions. And I just want to encourage you to lean into that at this point, that I promise you that you'll either deal with your you can either deal with your emotions now, or you will deal with them later. And since we have extra time, I say it's just deal with them now and lean into them right now. And a lot of times in this last week, this isn't what I'm preaching on, but this is what I wanted to start with encouragement, because I wanted you to know that you're not alone in how you might be feeling right now. And last week, I would just, and the last couple of weeks, I've just had to sit and turn on worship music and let the word wash over me. And there was one day where I actually just sat in a chair and cried and listened to worship music and just held my Bible, because I didn't even have the space to read it in that moment, but I just felt comforted by it. I just felt comforted knowing that God was sitting there with me in my sadness. And I want to remind you of something that God actually spoke a few weeks ago, the last time I preached, because this is something that just continues to come up in my mind. And that is that we are prepared for this. He's prepared us for this. And it doesn't mean that we know what to expect in the natural. It doesn't mean that we knew that this something like this was coming, but it just means that he's prepared us for where we're at right now. God is working. This is what I said last week. God is, or 2-3 weeks ago, God is working in your life right now. The time of preparation is now and always. And you were prepared for this, and you're being prepared for what is to come. And I want to encourage you that now is the time to put into practice everything that you've learned. Now is the time to put into practice everything that you have learned and heard over the past years. Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to pray. Now is the time to get in the Word. We don't have to wait any longer. Now is the time to do these things and to use the stuff that God has prepared in us. Now is the time. And so I hope that you're leaning in your grief, you're leaning in your joy, and you're leaning in the unknown and the certainty that when we are in circumstances like this, this is the best opportunity for God to speak to us, because we're usually most ready. We're usually desperate to hear from him, and he wants to speak to us. Look, we haven't chosen these external circumstances. Nobody chose these circumstances, but we can choose to lean into God and embrace the internal changes that he wants to do. These external changes are overwhelming, but the internal changes are something that we can lean into and say, God, what do you want to do in me? And what do you want to do in my heart during this time? The good news is that this is unprecedented. Nothing has ever happened like this before, and it probably won't be like this again. And so what are we doing to take the opportunity that he's presented before us right now and say, what do you want to do in this time, God? And at the end, because he's doing some internal changes in us, that at the end, this is preparation for something. And I want to be ready for whatever is coming next. And so I want to lean into the place that I am right now and say, God, what do you want to do? Because I want to be ready for what is to come. And I want to lean in and hear his heart and just sit with him and press in. And at the end of this, and at the end of my message, I'm going to give us some practical tools of how we can lean in. And what does that look like to lean in? I've said it a lot in the last few minutes, but what does that even look like? What kind of questions do you ask? And but the end of this, I want to share what that looks like. But for now, I just want you to have that in your mind, that there are a lot of external changes happening and that we can't control and we can't do anything about, but we can lean into the internal changes that God's wanting to make in our hearts and our minds and our community, and we can embrace what he's doing right now. So what I'm talking about today, maybe many of you like me have probably lost track of time. What day is it? It's Sunday. Welcome to Sunday. And it kind of feels like Groundhog Day. Every day you wake up and nothing's really different, and you have to remember what day it is because all of our activities have changed. But you may not have realized that it's actually Palm Sunday today. That for me, when I was growing up, there was this anticipation that it was coming. Easter was coming. Palm Sunday's here. I remember as a little kid that we would, Sunday school, we'd get all the palm branches and we'd be waving them around the church and we'd lay them down in celebration. And I remember Palm Sunday being a time to reflect both with sorrow and with joy And it's the beginning of what we call Holy Week, the beginning of reflecting on the time of Jesus's last week on earth. What did he do? What did he say? Who did he spend his time with? And it's a time for us to pause and reflect and with just with awe and respect and humility, listen and watch and read about Jesus's last week, because it's relevant to us right now. And it's ending the season of Lent, which is a season of reflecting on our own lives and our own humanity. And then it is looking forward to the day of salvation, looking forward to the day of the resurrection and the redemption when everything was fulfilled. But there's a lot we can learn about the very last week of Jesus's life. And what I want to do today is reflect a little bit with you on what he did and the crowd's response. And I want to encourage you to put yourself in their place. Put yourself in the disciples' place. Put yourself in the place of the people who were there during Jesus' time. Because that's how we can begin to learn and lean into the internal changes that God wants to make. And we can learn lessons from these people and we can identify with them. And I think that brings hope. And I think that brings encouragement for the future. So as I was reflecting on the last week, I want to share with you some parallels. All right. So normally when we read about Palm Sunday, and I'm going to read to you part of the story that's pretty familiar. But there's a scene of great celebration and welcoming Christ. And we sing lots of songs about Hosanna and here comes the one and our Savior and our Redeemer and all these things of joy. And in Matthew 21, verses 8 through 11, it says, "A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those following kept shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' As he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowds were saying, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.'" And what I couldn't help but thinking during this time is that they thought that they were ushering in their deliverer. They thought that they were worshiping and praising and welcoming in this incredible person. And they were right. He is their deliverer. He is an incredible person. But they were very focused on what he was going to do for them in that moment and in that time. See, at this point in time in the history of the world, the Israelites were very oppressed. The Jews were oppressed by the Romans, and they had a very hard life. And all throughout their history, they would come under oppression, and they would cry out to God, and he would send them a deliverer, and they would be free from that. And the thing is that at this point in time, that's what they were praying for and that's what they were hoping for. And when they saw this Jesus rise up, they thought, that's him. He's our new deliverer. He is coming to save us from the Roman oppression. So they kind of started looking at him like he was Moses delivering them out of Egypt. He was their king that was going to rise up and raise up an army and conquer the Romans. And they were thrilled for this. And as they were laying down these branches on the ground, they were worshiping. Essentially, they were worshiping their expectations of Jesus. I think they missed who he was and what he was doing, and because they were so focused on what they thought he was going to do and what he should have done in their mind. And they were cheering for their expectations. They weren't cheering for their Savior. And it made me think, what expectations do I have? What are the things that I've been expecting from God? And am I cheering for what I think he should do rather than for who he is? What are you cheering for? Because it can be so easy for us to cheer for God and to be and worship and praise him and be excited about this incredible God when everything is going right, when he's doing what we want us to do, when we have enough money in the bank and when we have enough food and when our jobs are totally secure and when our health is going great. And in all of these things, we can be just, Hosanna, this is fantastic. You're amazing. But then when he doesn't do what we want him to do and when he doesn't do what we expected him to do, then what is our response? Have we actually stopped and listened to what he's said? Because the thing is that when Jesus walked on this earth, he talked constantly about what he was there for. He talked constantly about freeing the captives and delivering them. And he was healing and he was extending compassion and he was doing all these things, but he also predicted his death over and over again. And people couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear it because it's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear how he was going to deliver them and how he was going to free them. They didn't want to hear how he was going to die because that didn't make any sense to their expectations. And if you don't know if you have expectations for God right now, then I have a really easy test. The test is to lay what you hope for, what you want, on the altar. And to begin to think, if that never happens, how do I feel about God? What are my thoughts towards God? It doesn't mean you're not going to have sorrow or sadness if whatever this is doesn't come to pass, but it will reveal your heart towards God and towards Jesus specifically and what he wants to do and what your expectations are. And I think that we're in a season and I'm going to get to this, but it's pulling a lot of this stuff out. A lot of stuff out that we just have to put on the altar and say, but God, you are more important than this. And the crowd's cheers from that day that he rode in on the donkey, the crowd's cheers turned dramatically. And what happened in that time between the cheering and then the crucifying? And I can't help but think that Jesus, after he left his place, he said some really hard stuff. He started to overturn tables and challenge even more so the religious establishment. He did stuff that they didn't like. And it was because his mission wasn't temporary freedom and his mission wasn't their comfort. His mission was their eternal freedom. And his mission is our eternal freedom and our reconciliation with God. That is why he came. And the Pharisees, they're the ones who didn't like this. They're the ones that started to rile up the crowd. And it was because Jesus was a threat to the norm. Jesus was a threat to what they'd always done. Jesus was a threat to this. And oh my gosh, when I started thinking about that, I thought, Lord, am I threatened by you upending my norm? Am I threatened by you in the way that you've turned upside down my life? Am I angry at you because my life isn't the same that it was? Am I frustrated with you that I now have to speak to a camera instead of to a crowd of people? Am I angry at God? Am I doubting him because my normal is not the same? Am I threatened by this? And have my cheers turned into frustration and rejection because he's upended my life? He's upended my normal. My heart is heavy. Are we resistant to Christ because of what is happening and because of what we don't see him doing? I'm really challenged by that. And I hope that you can sit with that thought for a minute and just say, Lord, I want to lean into that. I want to lean into that thought and be able to sit down and say, yeah, I am really frustrated. Yeah, I am really mad. This is part of the grieving process. And he's not upset by it. He's not surprised by it. Maybe we are, but this is a great opportunity to lean into him in that. From this place, he went and had his last supper with his disciples. He sat down and he celebrated with them and he washed their feet and he told them that this is my body that's broken for you and my blood that's poured out. And the disciples were like, what is he talking about? Because again, they couldn't hear what he was saying because it wasn't what they thought he should say, it wasn't what they thought he was going to do. And so they missed a lot of what he said. And when he took him into the garden to pray, man, this part really hit me when I was reading through this. When he took him into the garden to pray, he'd asked them to all to keep watch and pray, and he went off and he prayed with God, prayed to his Father, and he was just in such sorrow. And he came back to his friends, and he says this in Matthew 26, verse 41. It said, he says, stay awake and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And when I first read this week, oh, my heart was pounding. And when I wrote it down, it was beating so loudly because I felt like the Lord said, And he's saying to us, he's saying to me, and I believe he's saying to us, stay awake, stay alert, continue to pray. Don't be distracted by what you see and feel in the natural. Because I'm about ready to do something in the supernatural, and I don't want you to miss it. At this point in time, Jesus was preparing his heart for what was to come, and preparing his mind and his body and his soul and his spirit. And he was grieving. And when he came out and he saw his disciples asleep, he knew they weren't prepared for what was about to come. They weren't prepared for what they were about ready to see. And he wanted them to be awake and alert, because something was going to happen in the natural that was not going to make sense to them. And he wanted them to be prepared. And little did the disciples know what was about ready to happen, both good and bad. And I wonder if he's asking us, I'm telling us, stay awake, stay alert, keep praying, and watch for me. Don't be distracted by what's happening in the natural, but look for what's happening in the supernatural. You guys, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know what we don't know what God's going to do in the upcoming days and weeks and months. All right. But we can be alert and we can pray. We can learn from the disciples' experience, and we can know, this is the great thing about hindsight, is that we can know that no matter how dark it may get, Jesus conquered something at that point in time that had never been conquered before. He conquered death. He was victorious, and he will do it again. This has already happened. He will do it again. And we get to reflect and celebrate and actually be excited and look forward to. This is the hope that we have in the midst of this darkness. His mission has never been about temporary freedom or our comfort. His mission was not about our comfort. His mission wasn't about our temporary freedom. His mission, it's always been the eternal freedom and reconciliation with the Father. That is why he came. And that is what we can look for. And are we alert? And are we praying for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, the way that he prayed? Are we saying, not my will, but yours be done? I don't know. I'm challenged by that, because there's a lot of things that I've prayed that haven't happened yet. Yes, I want this to, I pray that this will go away. Yes, I pray that there'll be protection. And yes, I pray for these things. But honestly, I feel like if I want to pray the heart of God, I can begin to pray and that people's hearts will be turned towards him. That we will look to him rather than to make him for his eternal freedom and and our reconciliation with God. We can look to that rather than just make my circumstances better. I mean, I want my circumstances to be better, but I don't want that to be the focus of what I'm praying, because I don't want to miss what he's actually doing and our eyes open for what he is doing rather than what looking for what we want him to do. Have you stopped and thought, what is he doing right now? Not what do I want him to do, but what is he doing? Because that's a whole perspective change, a whole shift. And think about it. Imagine the horror and the sorrow of the disciples as they watched him be led away and beaten and crucified. They never had they imagined that this would happen. And after all that they had been together and after all that they had seen, all of a sudden, the words that Jesus spoke before are starting to kind of come back to them, going, oh, this must be what he was talking about. And unfortunately, this when Jesus was crucified, this exposed so much of their heart, of so much of where they were at, the disciples and his followers. And I believe that these hard things expose where we're at. For the disciples, it exposed fear and it exposed shame and a feeling of hopelessness. They abandoned him, they rejected him, they ran away. And honestly, this pandemic is exposing these things in us, and it's not pretty. I don't know about you, but I have seen some stuff in myself and in other people that I was like, I thought that was hidden. I thought I had dealt with that. I thought that we had figured this out by now, but when we go through these things with this pandemic and the hard stuff, it exposes stuff in us. It exposes our addiction to comfort. How many of you are uncomfortable right now and not happy about it? It exposes our obsession with control It exposes our compulsion to hoard. Hello, do you have any toilet paper? It exposes our protection of self, and it exposes our worship. It exposes what we worship, our worship of health and busyness and our sense of security. All these things are being exposed as we're being pressed into this hard season. And if we think back on this, on the story of Jesus, of the telling of what happened in Jesus' last week, the days between the crucifixion and the resurrection were really long and dark and confusing. And many of you might find yourselves there right now. It's dark. It's confusing. We don't know how long this is going to be, what's going to happen, and how are we going to respond? You know, the disciples, they went back to their old life. They're like, we don't know what to do now. Let's just go back to what we knew before. Even guys, when the Hebrews were delivered from Egypt and they were brought into this wilderness, they're like, we should just go back and die, and this is better than being in the wilderness. Let's not have that same mentality. Instead of rejecting or abandoning him, can we stay alert? Can we pray? Can we look for what he's going to do? Can we look with anticipation for the promised land? Can we look with anticipation for the resurrection, for the victory, for what God is actually doing in this season? I want to watch with eyes of faith, wide open to the supernatural and not distracted by the natural. Oh, when everywhere we look, it feels like you turn on the news or this just seems the topic of conversation. Everything is, every day is all the things that are happening in the natural. And boy, if we listen to that a lot, it just gets overwhelming and confusing. And it makes us want to go back to the way things were. I get that. But what we can learn, from scripture is that there's actually something better that's coming. That we can look forward to what is coming, because the Holy Week tells us that even in the darkest of time, Sunday is coming, Easter is coming, hope is coming. We don't know what God is defeating right now. We don't know what he is exposing. We don't know what he is being victorious over right now, but we can guess. He's being victorious about the idols in our lives if we embrace and lean into that with him. You know, like Jesus's first followers, we did not choose these external changes, but we can choose to embrace the internal changes that he's offering us right now. And we can lean into him. And all of these things that have been bubbling up over the last month, over the last few weeks or month, is all of these things that are bubbling up. We can bring them before God and allow him and to speak his truth into these things. What is true about what I feel right now? I feel scared. What is true about that? It doesn't mean that my feelings don't have value or that my emotions don't mean anything, but it does expose something in me. It exposes my worship. It exposes my trust. It exposes areas that that maybe I didn't realize were there before. And you guys, when Thomas doubted, Jesus answered with compassion. And when Peter denied him, Jesus came and restored him with love and grace. And he is offering all of that to us. We are no better than any of the disciples or anybody who has walked through these things. We are no better. But we have the same God who wants to offer the same compassion, the same love, the same grace, the same forgiveness. And he's offering that to you today. And I want to say that for far too long, many of us have run from these changes. And we've just powered through and we've said, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. Ouch, that hurt, but I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. Here's the thing, is all of those things that you've pushed aside to get to later, they're bubbling up when we get under pressure and when we get into this a season of real hard and discomfort. These things start to come bubbling up to the surface. And we have the opportunity right now. He's offering us the opportunity to sit with him and get healing in that. Because Sunday's coming and we have hope. Because Sunday's coming and we have victory. And he is offering and extending this to all of us. So if you've struggled to pray, I want to encourage you to lean into praying. Today's the day. If you've struggled to read the word, today is the day to lean in to opening the Bible and reading scripture. If you've struggled to reach out to people, today is the day to email, text, call, FaceTime, write an actual letter, whatever it is. Today's the day to do that. If you've struggled to forgive, today's the day to take your anger to God and to release it and allow him to heal you. If you've struggled with fear, today is the day to turn off the news and immerse yourself in worship and immerse yourself in the good news of God and let the love of God and the truth of God wash over you. If you've struggled with busyness, today's the day to lean into the quiet place and rest. He's given you the time. If you've struggled with protection of self, today is the day to learn and to look for ways to give. Like Nick said last week, don't look to your checkbook and your possessions to tell you how to live an abundant lifestyle with God. Today is the day to look at all that he's prepared in you. Today is the day to continue. I mean, we're already uncomfortable. Let's just get more uncomfortable, right? Let's just embrace this level of discomfort and say, today is the day of my salvation. Today is the day for my freedom. Today is the day that God is going to deliver me from these things. Today is the day that I am going to lean in to the internal changes that God wants to make, despite what's happening in the external. We can think of 100 different examples in scripture where there were external changes that were out of their control, but the people listened and they leaned into the internal changes that God was doing. Deliverance after deliverance after deliverance, and God wasn't worried about their comfort. He was focused on their freedom. Guys, God's mission has always been about eternal freedom and reconciliation, not about our temporary freedom and our comfort. So as we die to ourselves, we're resurrected with Christ. This is what this season reminds us of. This is what it's all about, is that we die to self and we are resurrected with him, bringing our sin to the cross and receiving his forgiveness and his victory and his grace that Christ paid for. So I promised you that I would give you some tools on how to do this. Hopefully you've heard some things that you can pick out of what I've spoken, but I heard these three questions in another teaching I listened to this last week, and actually they've been incredibly impactful. And I think that if we could sit with God in our devotion time, which we have more opportunity for, but if we could just sit with God in this quiet place and we ask him these three questions, I think it's going to be revealing about what he's going to share. And I want to encourage you that if you don't journal, this is a great time to start. Just be real as you write things down. He's not afraid of anything that you have to say. And sometimes, at least for me, I don't even know what's in my head until I've written it on paper. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, I didn't think I thought that. And I wish I didn't think it, and I would love to just tear up the paper and be free from it, which I will be. But the thing is that sometimes we don't even know what's in there until we get it out. And I believe that there's times where I am asking God a question and I will write things down and I will begin to see what he's speaking to me and what he brings to mind as it just comes out. And so this is a very practical way to be leaning into him during this season. So here's the three questions. It's to sit with God and ask him, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn today? Second one, what do you want me to do? And the third one is, where do I need to trust you? These questions are very revealing. What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do? And where do I need to trust you? Our emotions reveal a lot of this stuff. Our willingness and ability to lay things on the altar and say, Lord, even if I get sick, I trust you. Even if I struggle financially, even if I lose my job, even if I don't know, fill in the blank of whatever it is, I trust you. Those are hard words to say. They are hard words to say. But I want to have the faith that says, even when my external looks a little chaotic, a little scary, a little crazy, it's not fitting what I thought that you were going to do. And it's not fitting what I thought that who you are and what your good news means for me. If it's not fitting all of that, even though all of this, even if my worst fear is realized, I will praise him. And we can't have that kind of attitude and connection and we can't have that kind of peace with God unless we've spent time with God and we've heard and we've listened to who he is and what he said and what his mission is. We have the power and we can have the faith to pray for our external, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I also want to have the power and the faith to pray and receive what he wants to change in the internal. And say, God, I'm walking with you in this, no matter what happens. No matter what happens, I am not alone. He is with you. He sees you. He hears you. And he's saying, I am with you always. Even if you can't see it, I'm working. Even if you can't feel it, I'm working. And that is the hope that we have, because of all he has done and because of who he is. And so I want to encourage you today as I wrap this up that you are prepared for this. Now is the time to use the tools that you have been given. Now is the time to open yourself up to the one who is abundant, the one who has limitless resources, the one who is an endless well of love and compassion and grace, and one whose mercies are new every single morning. He doesn't run out, and we don't have to say, I know that other people are having a harder time, so if you need to deal with them first, then you can come back to me. He has more than enough for you, and he has more than enough for me, and it's new every single morning, and we have such a confident hope that no matter what the natural looks like, we can choose to stay alert and watch and pray and say, God, what are you doing right now? What are you doing? And how do I participate with you? I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to give in to the temptation of my flesh to just fall asleep and be numb to this. I want to engage actively because there's never going to be a time like this again. This is an incredible moment in history where the church has been empowered to rise up and bring hope and extend love like never before. And I want to encourage all of us to embrace this internal change, to say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to see. Show me. I'm going to pray for you and for me. Lord, we want to open ourselves up to and have our eyes open and our ears open and our hearts open to what you're doing right now, to what is, not what we want to happen, but what is happening. God, would you speak to each one of us, and may we just remove the lids, remove the things that are stopping us, our excuses. God, you have removed a lot of stuff and you have revealed a lot of stuff. And for many of us, that's really scary because we didn't know that was in there. But I pray instead of running away from it, instead of pushing it aside, that we would sit with you. That when we ask you, what do we need to learn? When we ask you, what do we need to do? And we ask you, where do we need to trust you more? I pray for ears to hear your words and for the faith and the courage to step out in that. Lord, we are so grateful that you've prepared us, and we are so grateful that you have never left us. And may we, your church, that doesn't have to be in a building to be your church, but may we, your church, bring hope to our neighbors and our world. And may we extend the never-ending gracious love of our Father. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, well, thanks for being with us today. There's three things I want to leave you with this morning. The first one is that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to comment in the bottom that you would like to start that relationship with Jesus today, that you recognize that that you need him in your life, and that in this chaotic time, it is more important than ever to give your life to the Lord, because he will bring about a peace that overcomes all the chaos, overcomes all the fear, and overcomes all of the anxiety that you may have. Jesus is the one that can heal wholly and internally all the way through. And so I want to just invite you, if you want to know Jesus today, just type in that comment box that you want to know Jesus, that you want to have him in your life, and we will reach out and pray with you. Also, if you're wanting to give, we want to invite you to give on those ways, on our app, on our website, or just mail it in. And finally, let us know how we can pray with you and just engage in conversation with you and just lift up those requests that you have for the Lord. Anyway, guys, I'm glad that you were with us today, and I hope that you can carry this message with you throughout the week. And if you forget anything about the message, you can always go back and check them out online. All right? Well, hey, thanks again for being a part of TRC Sunday. We're glad that you're with us online. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.